إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Indeed, it is Allah's favor upon us that he has guided us to Islam and the pure sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his final messenger, and that he has enabled us by his favor and his mercy to implement and practice in our lives this Islam. Alhamdulillah, tonight Allah has blessed us again to be able to, after a brief break, to get back to the class, Character and Manners in the Sunnah, Part 2. And inshallah, in this session, on these coming weeks, inshallah, we would like to continue with the following subchapter from Kitab al-Jami' Bulugh al-Maram, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. The second subchapter from Kitab al-Jami', the last chapter of Bulugh al-Maram. This chapter is entitled Al-Birr wa-Sila. And this is the chapter after, or bab after bab al-Adab, Al-Birr wa-Sila. Good character, kindness, righteousness, and joining the ties of relationships. If you have received the hadith that we want to discuss this evening, and in the mailing that we sent out, this hadith should be numbered hadith number 17. Instead of hadith number 1, it should be hadith number 17. Because in the first period, we took 16 hadith from Bab al-Adab. And so this hadith should be numbered hadith number 17. And the English translation of Bulugh al-Maram is 1252. And the topic of this hadith is encouragement to join the ties of blood relations. Encouragement to join the ties of blood relations as a means of increasing one's wealth and prolonging the term of life. This hadith, as it is found in Bulugh al-Maram, it's narrated on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه أخرجه البخاري. يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he narrates from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that he said, whoever or he who would love to have his provisions expanded, and his sustenance, his provisions, his livelihood increased, expanded, and his term of life prolonged, his life lengthened, yani his death to be delayed for some time so that he can live longer, whoever would love to have his provisions expanded and his term of life prolonged must treat his relatives well. That is, in joining the ties of relationship, in connecting the ties of relationships, of blood relations, relations of the womb. This hadith, by the way, it has also been narrated by Imam Muslim, but from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So the hadith actually is muttafaqun alayhi. It's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Bukhari narrates it from Abu Hurairah, and he narrates it from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And Imam Muslim narrates it from Anas ibn Malik. And there is some slight difference in the wording. As is found in Bulugh Maram, the wording that he mentioned there is من أحب أن يبسط عليه في رزقه. But in Bukhari, it's narrated as يبسط له في رزقه. And in Muslim كذلك. In any case, the meaning is the same. But just as a note, if somebody sees the Arabic wording of the hadith, من أحب أن يبسط عليه, it's the same. The same hadith, in some of the reports it came عليه, and some of it came أن يبسط له في رزقه. We want to mention tonight, as has been our practice in the past, some comments from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, some of what he said concerning this hadith, as well as the comments of his companion, yani Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Salih al-Bassam, who was one of his companions when he was a student studying under Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Both of them were students of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. And he also has some very important comments in his explanation of Bulugh Maram. And كذلك, likewise, we also want to mention some of the comments of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. Allah yahfadahu. May Allah protect and preserve him. And as we have done in the past, yani we will try to mention as much as possible of what each of them said. But sometimes, due to lack of time, we will yani maybe skip some points as according to necessity. And we'll do as much as we can. We want to start with Shaykh. Normally we usually read the comments of Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen last, but today inshallah we'll start with the first. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, Kitab al-Jami' Bab al-Birr wa-Sila. The subchapter al-Birr and al-Sila. And he says, al-Birr lil-Walidain wa-Sila lil-Aqarib. Al-Birr, yani kindness and righteousness and good treatment, is for the parents. It's for one's parents. And as-sila is for one's relatives. Here the Shaykh is making a distinction between what? Between birr and sila. Because when we see what sila is, keeping relations, what is intended by that, it means to be good, to be kind, to be generous, to be charitable, to be easy with someone, with your relatives. And that's very similar to what al-birr means. But here Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying, he's making a distinction between the two of them, that al-birr is for your parents. And as-sila, keeping the ties of relations, is for your other relatives. And then he says, al-birr kathratul ata. That birr is giving a lot, kathra, plentifulness in giving, as opposed to as-sila, is mujarrad usul al-ata. That is, the as-sila, keeping good ties with your relatives, is simply continuously being good to them, continuously. Meaning, not cutting off whatever good you do for them. Don't cut it off. But let it be ongoing. That's how you keep the ties of relations. As far as with parents, it's not just doing continuous good to them, but a lot of it. Plentiful, extra, above and beyond. He said, أَمَّا السِّلَى فَهِيَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ وَلِذَلَكَ he said, البر, also he said, البر is أعمق وأكثر. It is deeper. البر, that which is for the parents, is deeper and it is more than just keeping ties and relations like you do with the relatives. And for this reason, it has been singled out for the parents. They are the ones who have most right to that which is extra. As far as keeping ties and relations, فَهِيَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ هُنَاكَ انْقِطَاعَ وَهِيَ دُونَ الْبِرُّ فَصَارَتْ بِالْأَقَارِبِ. As far as keeping ties and relations, it is that you do not cut off, yani separate from them, or stop being kind to them, or charitable to them, or good to them. And this is less than what is expected under al-birr, that is for the parents. It's less than that. So this, keeping ties and relations, is for the relatives, and al-birr is for the parents, And al-birr is deeper, and it is more, and it is greater than just merely keeping ties of relations. Meaning that keeping ties of relations is expected for every one of your relatives, but your parents are supposed to do more. Okay, inshallah, brothers and sisters, let us from now think about this. What are we thinking about? Let's think about where we are with this. Some of us have fallen short. May Allah help us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah pardon us. Some of us have fallen short in keeping ties with our relatives. Some of us have fallen short in being kind to our parents. From now, as we listen to what the sheikhs, what the scholars have said, we should be thinking about ourselves. Where am I in reference to this? What do I have to do to get it together? This is very, very important. That it's not just academic. Rather, this is real life. What are we going to do with this? Are we just going to memorize some definitions? Or are we going to act upon this? Are we going to live by it? So the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, so who are those who we expected or we are requested or required to keep ties with? This is one definition, the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen's definition, of what he says, who are our relatives that we expected to keep ties with? He said, هم من شاركك في الجد الرابع فما تحته. All of those who share with you your fourth grandfather, meaning your father's 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 father. From that down, your fourth grandfather, الجد الرابع. Your first grandfather is your father's father, right? Then the next one after that, his father, meaning your grandfather's father. And then his father, four grandfathers. Whoever comes under them, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying, these are your relatives that you're required to keep ties with, be kind and charitable with. Huh? Ajed al-Rabiya. Ajed al-Awwal, your first grandfather, is your father's father. The second one is the father of your grandfather. And the third one is his father. And the fourth one is his father. Now. So he's saying, everybody, after that, okay, you're free. Somebody's related after that, you're free. All right. But under that, you get all of those people. Those are your relatives that you're required to keep ties with. He said, the sheikh says, as far as those who say that your relatives are the descendants, or, I mean, what do you call it? Furu means the children of your grandfather, the children of your grandfather. Whoever says that your relatives are limited just to those who come from your grandfather. And those who come from your father, meaning your grandfather's children and grandchildren and so on, and your father's children and grandchildren and so on. He said, this is questionable. This definition. He said, because this makes your relatives to be very few. Not a lot of people. You're just talking about your grandfather's children and his, and so on, and your father's children. That's just a few people. Shaykh is saying, Al-Uthaymeen, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying, this makes the relatives very few. As far as those who say that your relatives are everybody that's related to you, that has any nasab, any blood relationship to you, then they have made this matter very wide. I mean, they have opened it up too far. I mean, it's too many people. Anybody that has any blood relationship to you, no matter how, where, far away, he said that's too much. So the closest to what is correct as far as who are your relatives, he said it is those who are connected to you from your fourth grandfather and whoever came under him. This is one definition, okay? Whoever is related to you from your fourth grandfather down. That's one definition the Shaykh gives, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. The other scholars, they give a different definition, but that's one definition of who are your relatives. Okay, the Shaykh, he goes on to say, explaining this hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An ahabba an yubsata lahu fi rizqihi," whoever will love that his sustenance, his rizq, his provisions be expanded, be increased. "Wa an yunsa'a lahu fi atharihi," and that his athar, yani his ajal, his term of life, that it be delayed, meaning be lengthened, it be prolonged, that he don't die so soon, but delay it. Let's hold this off a little bit. Whoever would like that, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, then he must keep ties with his relatives. Rahim, the womb, those who are connected by the womb, blood relatives. What about al-Bukhari? First thing the Shaykh says, and yubsata, in Arabic, he said it means yuwassa. It means to make something expansive, vast. Whoever likes that his sustenance be vast, be a lot, be expanded, extended, increased. And this is, this word, yubsa, is like the saying of Allah, Allahu yabsutu ar-rizq limay yasha wa yaqdir. That Allah, in Surah Ra'ad, Ayah 26, Allah says that Allah is the one who expands the risk to whomever He wills, and He limits it. Allah is the one who decides that. Somebody's sustenance is going to be a lot or a little. Allah is the one who does that. He's the one who has complete control over that. And risk, He said, it is that which the person is given. The risk is whatever you're given, your sustenance, your provisions. But here's a note that the Shaykh says, which is worth paying attention to. That which immediately comes to your mind when you think about risk, he said, is that which is necessary for the well-being, your physical well-being, your physical life, that your body needs, the things that you need for physical life, like food and drink, clothing, housing, and things like that. When you think about sustenance, that's what most people think about, right? You go to work to get some provisions, you go to work so you can rent a house, buy a house, get a car, some food, clothing, stuff like that. But the Shaykh says that perhaps this risk may also include not just what is necessary for the physical life, but what is necessary for your deen. Like what? Like ilm nafi', beneficial knowledge. Wa iman, faith. Wa amal salih, righteous deeds. That perhaps these are also included on the risk. When a person asks Allah, expand my risk, do you just want more money, food and clothing? You don't want more knowledge, more iman? Huh? Yeah. But how many of us are thinking about this? Like this. Beneficial knowledge, righteous deeds, increase of iman and taqwa. That this is also included in risk. And Allah is the one who controls all of this. That you will have more or less. Whoever wants it to be expanded, increased, you should keep good ties. Be kind to your relatives. Allah help us to do this. And whoever wants his athar, his ajal, his term of life to be delayed, meaning to be prolonged, to be extended. Because al-athar, he said it means al-ajal. Means your term of life. Then he must, whoever wants that, then he must connect the connection, the ties of the womb, one's relatives. And keeping the ties of the womb, the Shaykh says, it is to connect to them or to reach them al-khayr, to make sure that good comes from you to them. Walaikum salam. But this, what is required here, is not the same. It's not as vast as what is expected of goodness to parents. Because if it was like that, then it would be the same as al-birr. But birr is extra, above and beyond doing good. And that's especially for one's parents. Okay, the Shaykh mentions three benefits from this hadith. The first one, he said, هذا الحديث حثٌ عظيمٌ على صلة الرحم. That this hadith is a great encouragement to keep the ties of the womb. A great encouragement. عظيم, tremendous encouragement. Because every person, every one of the people, by nature, he loves that his sustenance should be increased. And every human being, by nature, loves that his death could be delayed, that his term could be extended. فَهَذَا مِنْ أَبْلَغَ التَّرْغِيبِ وَالْحَثِ عَلَى صِلَةِ الرَّحْمِ. So this is one of the greatest of encouragements for keeping the ties of relations. So we benefit from this hadith, at-targhib fi silat al-rahim. This hadith, the first benefit, what? Is the encouragement to keep the ties of the womb. Second benefit, he said, وَمِنْ فَوَاعِدْ. And also from the benefits of this hadith, أَنَّ سِلَةِ الرَّحَمْ سَبَبٌ لِكَثْرَةِ الرِّزْقِ وَطُولِ الْحَيَاةِ. That keeping the ties of the womb, being kind to your relatives, is a sabab, a cause or reason, a sabab, a cause. Allah has made this a cause that brings about a certain effect. It's a sabab, a cause or reason for the plentifulness of one's provisions and the lengthening of one's life. Based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever wants his provisions to be expanded, increased, and his life to be extended or prolonged, then he must keep ties of relations. So what? Keeping the ties of relations is a sabab. It's a cause or reason. That cause has an effect. If a person utilizes this sabab, then he expects a certain effect, something to happen. And وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ الْحَدِيثِ, and also from the benefits of the hadith, is إِثْبَاتِ الْأَسْبَابِ. And this hadith confirms that there is such a thing as asbab, sabab. Asbab is the plural of sabab. That there are things in reality that are asbab, there are causes that bring about effect. Naturally, the way Allah has created it like that. In the physical world and in the spiritual world, Allah has made certain things a cause or reason for something. And if you take hold of that cause and utilize it, then you can expect a certain result. This hadith proves that. That's a fact. And this is because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a sababan and a musabbaban. He made something as a cause and he made something as the effect. Yani what that cause brings about. A sabab, the cause, is keeping ties of the womb. And the musabbab, the effect, is what will happen? His provisions will be expanded. And his life will be extended. And he will remain here longer than he would have if he had not utilized this cause. Here the Shaykh goes into the discussion that requires any careful following. What if a person said, what is the jam' between this hadith and the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the jam'? Yani what is the way that we can combine between two things that appear to be contradictory? How do we reconcile between them? Al-jam', the reconciliation between this hadith that says, if a person wants their provisions expanded to be more, and their life to be extended, to be prolonged, then he should keep good ties with the relations. There appears, on the surface perhaps, to be a contradiction between that, the possibility of extending your life and expanding your wealth, and the saying of Allah, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجْلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Surah Al-A'raf 7:34. And when their term, their appointed term, the end of their life comes, cannot be delayed, not even 1 hour. Cannot be delayed, nor can it be advanced. Yani when the term comes that Allah has said, خلاص, it can't be extended, can't be delayed. So on the surface, it might appear as though there's a contradiction here. We're saying, you want to extend it, delay it? You can do it. Keep ties with your relations. This ayah is saying, can't be done. So what is the gem? How do we reconcile? Naam, you want to offer a reconciliation? Go ahead. Again, listen carefully to what he's saying. You're right. I mean, that's one explanation for sure. Jazakallah khair. Go ahead, say it again so they can hear, in case they want to listen. Okay, so the person is going to get their reward, that's already included. Whatever he's going to do of good, that he's going to get some reward for, that's already included. Meaning that Allah already, within the divine decree, Allah knows and He has written and He has caused it to be executed according to His knowledge, that a person is going to do this. And therefore he is going to get that. It's already decreed. That's one of the explanations. That's a good explanation. Jazakallah khair. So the Shaykh says, we say that aslan la mu'arada, that there's no contradiction here. From the beginning, there's no contradiction. Even if it appears like that, there's really no contradiction. What is intended by the Prophet ﷺ by this hadith is merely al-hath ala silati rahim. What he intends by this is merely to encourage people to keep good ties with their relations. Meant to be an encouragement. That's what it's intended to be, an encouragement. He wants to encourage people to do good. In the same way that a person is encouraged by an ayat that he reads in the Quran or hadith, that if a person does this, he will enter Jannah. Well, it's already written who's going to enter Jannah or not, right? But we want to encourage. Allah wants to encourage us. So He tells, if you do this, I'll give you Jannah. If you do this, I'll give you Jannah. If you do this and such and so on, you get this reward. To encourage you to do it. But Allah already knows who's going to do it, who's not going to do it. And He already knows who's going to get the reward for doing it and who's not going to get it. Because He knows who's going to do it, so He knows who He's going to reward with this. Closing in on me here, man. Soon I won't have no place to sit. Allahumma musta'an. Naam. So the Shaykh says this, that the Prophet ﷺ intends by this encouragement of keeping ties with nations. Then, if a person keeps the ties of the womb, is kind to his relatives, then we know that it has been written that he will be one who keeps the ties of relations. We will know from that, from him doing this, we know that this has been written. That he is a wasil, one who keeps ties with his relatives. And we also know from that, that his term of life is, the term of life for him doing that, is that which Allah has decreed for him. Due to him utilizing this sabab, this cause. Which cause is that? Keeping the ties of relations. And if a person is kind to his relatives, we know from that, we know from that, that this person is one who it has been written that he will do so, he will do such, and that his term of life has been extended because of that, in what Allah has already decreed from the beginning. In the knowledge of Allah, that knows, He knows everything before we come into this world, right? When a person comes in this world, before they come out of their mother's womb, when the belly of the mother is written, what? It's written already. What will be their provision? What will be their lifespan? And what deeds they will do? And whether they will be sa'idun or shaqiyun. They will be fortunate or unfortunate. Meaning they will be in the paradise or in the hellfire. It's already written. Allah already knows that. So the Shaykh says, وَلَيْسَ فِي هَذَا إِشْكَالٌ. Therefore, there's no confusion, there's no problem with this matter. He says, what is amazing though is that many of the scholars, they found this hadith to be some problematic. Big problem. How do you explain this? It appears to be contradiction. Which led some of them to saying that the ajal, the term of a person's life, that there are two terms. One term for the qati', the one who will cut the ties of relations, and one term for the wasil, the one who will keep ties with his blood relations. The Shaykh says this is not correct. But we say, isn't it so that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves to be kept a distance, far distance from the hellfire, and to be admitted into the paradise, فَلْيَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ أَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. Whoever loves that he be kept a far distance from the hellfire and admitted into the paradise, then let his maniyya, his death, his time of death come to him while he is believing in Allah in the last day. Yani let him die on Iman, believing in Allah in the last day. How are you going to die on Iman unless he's living on Iman, right? Like Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And don't die except that you die as a Muslim in submission. How can you die as a Muslim unless you live as a Muslim? You have to live every day as a Muslim because you don't know when you're going to die. If you live every day as a Muslim, inshallah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, then you die in Islam. If you live every day believing in Allah on the last day, then when death comes to you, you will die. Death will come to you what? While you are believing in Allah on the last day. And also let him go to the people, or deal with the people, or treat the people in the way that he wants the people to come to him. The same way that he wants the people to deal with him, then deal with the people in the same way. Two things here, what? If he wants to be kept far away from the hellfire and admitted into paradise, then he must do what? He must put himself in a condition that whenever death comes to him, he's going to die believing in Allah on the last day. And he has to treat the people the way he wants to be treated. Want people to be kind to you, be kind to others. Want people to be respectful to you, be respectful to others. Same way. You want people to treat you, treat them the same way. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ made for Jannah a sabab, that there's a cause with which a person may enter Jannah. And he encouraged the people to utilize it. Even though whoever is from the people of Jannah, we already know that he's already from the people of Jannah. Meaning that's already decreed. Before he started doing this, to get in Jannah, it's already decreed. Decreed that he's going to do it, and it's decreed that he's going to enter Jannah. But of course, the Shaykh says that just as the people of Jannah are the people of Jannah, that's not going to change. But they're in Jannah because of this sabab, because they utilize the means to enter Jannah. And this is the same way with a person's lifespan. If Allah gives the person the success, the tawfiq, to keep good ties with his relatives, we know from this that his lifespan has been extended to what it will be due to this cause of keeping the ties with his relatives. So for example, just for the sake of argument, if a person did not keep good ties with his relatives, and his lifespan was 50 years. If he were to keep good ties with his relatives, then his lifespan would be, for example, 55 years. We're saying, for example, a person's lifespan was going to be 50 years. But if he were to keep ties with his relatives, Allah would extend it to 55 years. Now Allah already knows who's going to keep ties and who's not. So this is already decreed. This is already taken into account, right? That this person is going to keep ties, and therefore he's going to get 55 years. As far as the person who doesn't keep ties, he's only going to get 50 years. Allah has already fixed it like that. Because he knows what they're going to do. He knows what we're going to do. So there's no contradiction in this matter. And the fact that if a person, his term comes, it will not be advanced, and it will not be delayed. Because originally, his term of life of 55 years or whatever it was extended to by Allah because of him, because of Allah knowing that he's going to keep ties and relationship. Originally, this is what is written from the beginning. Based on the fact that Allah knows that this person is going to keep ties and relations. So there's no problem. Likewise, just like this, there's no problem with the sustenance. Whoever loves, let his sustenance be expanded or increased. He must keep ties and relations. So if it was said, for example, that a person's sustenance is already written from the time that he's a fetus in the womb of his mother. His sustenance is written, his term of life is written, his deeds are written. And whether or not he will be fortunate or unfortunate, all of this is already written, as we know in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. While he is in the belly of his mother. If somebody said that, we say yes, that's right, that's a fact. However, his sustenance, this specific amount of sustenance that he's going to get in this life has already been written. And his keeping ties of relations has already been written. Both of these things are what has been written. But the fact that a person's sustenance and lifespan has been written and keeping ties of relations, all of this has been written. But he, the person, does not know what has been written. He doesn't know whether or not his sustenance is going to be expanded, his lifespan is going to be expanded, he's going to do good. He don't know any of that. So Allah, through the Prophet ﷺ, is encouraging people to do good. Because you don't really know what's going to be the outcome. There are some people, it's already written they're going to be in paradise. They don't know that. So they can't just say, well, maybe it's already written I'm going to be in paradise. I ain't got to do nothing. You mean maybe it's already written? Maybe it's already written you're going to be in hellfire. You better do something. You better get busy. We are not guaranteed because we have pronounced shahada. Rather, a person has to live that shahada. You gotta live by that. Don't imagine just because you pronounced or proclaimed that you are Muslim, and you don't gotta pray, and you don't have to fast in Ramadan, and you don't have to obey the laws of Allah, and you can do whatever you wanna do because you're a Muslim and you got it made. Whoever imagines that is a fool. They didn't understand anything about Islam. Because how many of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, at their deathbed were worried, what would be my condition in front of Allah? They were definitely Muslims. How could they be worried? And we're not worried? Somebody thinks he got it made? People don't even pray. Brother said this morning at the Fajr prayer that he went looking for a masjid, and the people told him it was on such and such street, 150th Street, 55th Street, and 7th Avenue, or Lenox Avenue, or someplace. And he asked, Muslims, where's the masjid? Who's in there? They don't even know where the masjid is. I mean, they don't even go to the masjid. Do they think that they go in the Jannah just because they claim to be a Muslim? And many of us, we think we can do whatever we want to do. I'm saying this is the way the human being is. We must reflect on this matter and check ourselves. We have to do better. And that's what this is really about. This is one way of doing better, getting nearer. This is one sabab amongst the asbab, the causes that Allah has given to us, that a person might be admitted into Jannah. This is only one way, doing good deeds. Because the reward for keeping good ties with your relatives is not just increasing your sustenance and prolonging your life, but there's another reward for it, right? Even greater than that. But this is what people want. People want something now. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you can get something now. But what's the greater reward? The reward of Allah in the next life. Because this is ibadah. This is obedience to Allah. If a person does this, this might earn him Jannah. Prophet ﷺ mentioned that in the hadith. He mentioned what the people want. People want now. If you tell somebody, brother, come to the masjid today and clean the masjid, and then come back tomorrow and every day come and clean the masjid, and every day after that come keep cleaning the masjid for the rest of the year, but we don't got no money, we can't give you no salary though. So, I'm going to do that. Well, you'll be in Jannah. He probably going to say, I need a job, man. I need some money. What are you talking about, man? You come work every day, no salary? Huh? Because we want money in this world. Wallahi, if we were promised Jannah for some things that there's no money involved, we would not do it. That's a fact. And whoever doubts it, just look around every day. You'll see that we have been offered to do this, or we have been requested or required or asked to help in this, that, or other. We don't do it because we're doing something more important. What are we doing more important? I gotta go to work, man. Gotta make some money. Make some money. Some of us don't come to the masjid for salat. Men, I'm talking about. Women don't have to come to the masjid. For jama'ah, don't come to the masjid because we're doing something more important. I'm not saying a person shouldn't have a job, that they shouldn't give a great priority to their job. But what I'm saying is we have to examine our priorities. Is it all about making money? That's all that we're concerned about? I mean, that's important. Naam. Wallahi, that's important. Very, extremely important. But is worshiping Allah and obedience to Allah any less important? Rather, indeed, worshiping Allah is the most important thing. It's the purpose for which we have been created. We weren't created to work for somebody, or work for ourselves, or work for whatever. We were created to worship Allah. But that alone, and everything else has to be secondary. May Allah help us. Allah musta'an. No. Okay. No. It's an important question, but I really would rather wait till the end to make sure we finish the class. But just briefly, I'll respond to it. If a person has a relative who's disrespectful, who has hatred for Islam, disdain for the Muslims, and so on and so on, what do we do with those kind of people? We should try to keep ties with our blood relations, no matter. Meaning that our keeping ties with them is not based on how they treat us. Our keeping ties with them is based on our obedience to Allah and our fear of Allah, as best we can. As much as we can, in the ways that we can. There's still something. Even though a person may hate Islam, hate the Muslim, you still might be able to do something. Keep some kind of tie with that person. Even if it's just You give them a call or visit them once in a while, once a year. Can't stand to see them, so at least once a year. I'm saying, may Allah help us to do this. Because what? Maybe that visit might be the visit that opened their heart. Allah might want to guide that person. And there's nobody that they know who would call them to Islam. Maybe they don't know no Muslim except you. And they hate you. But it might be through you that Allah might guide them to Islam. How many people came to Islam after hating Islam before that? Sometimes our own relatives. We know that these were people who hated Islam. And then eventually they became Muslims. So our relatives became Muslims. Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, the first point that I want to make about what he says after mentioning this hadith, he says, silat al-rahm. What is the meaning? What do we mean by silat al-rahm? Keeping the ties of the womb. What do we mean by keeping the ties of the womb? Keeping good relations with your relatives. He said, this is a kinaya an al-ihsan ila al-aqrabin min dhawi al-nasab wal-ashar wal-tafadl alayhim wal-rifq bihim. That keeping the ties of the womb, that he said this is a kinaya, yani an indirect expression. Meaning it's an expression that you use to refer to something else. Keeping the, literally means, silat al-rahm means to connect the womb. What does that really mean? I mean, do we really try to connect a womb? No, it doesn't mean that. But it's an indirect expression that's used to refer to the womb. Is the connection that connects people with blood relations from the womb. Person is born from this woman, and this one is related to the one born from this woman, and they're connected by blood, so they have some relationship. So he said that this is a kinaya, an indirect expression that means al-ihsan, being good. Al-ihsan, good treatment to your relatives, those who are connected to you by blood or by marriage. By blood or by marriage. And doing more for them, yani favoring them, giving them special favors, tafaddal alayhim, more than like what's required. Wa rifq bihim, and being gentle with them. Huh? Being gentle with them. First thing he said, al-ihsan. Second thing he said, tafaddal. And the third one, rifq. Al-ihsan is general goodness, kindness, good treatment. Tafaddal means giving extra. Doing more. Like giving somebody something, just, I don't owe you nothing. I'm just, this is the fadl. This is extra I'm just giving you. Like the fadl of Allah, يُعْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah has fadl that He just gives whoever He will. You don't have to give them anything. They didn't earn it. They didn't do nothing to get it. But He just gives it. So sometimes you just give them something. I didn't earn anything. They're not deserving of it. You're just giving it as a favor. And a rafq means gentleness. Being gentle with them. Not being harsh. Like some of us are harsh, we're very harsh. Even though we think we're doing good, because we're being harsh and calling people to Islam. You better accept Islam, you'll be in hellfire. That's true. They don't accept Islam, you'll be in hellfire, that's true. But is that the way you do it? You better follow the sunnah, you deviant, you astray. Now that's true, they are astray. But is that the way you bring people to the sunnah? With harshness? Abadan, no way. Gentleness. And then he mentions some of the actual things that a person can do to keep these ties of relations. What can you do? He mentions three things, and there are many more. He said, associating with your relatives, your near relatives, قَدْ يَكُنْ بِالْمَالِ وَبِالْخِدْمَةِ وَبِالْزِيَارَةِ وَنَحْوَهَا. That being kind and good and treating your relatives well might be in any one of a number of ways. For example, it might be by wealth. Bilmal. Meaning that you might have some extra money, you just give some charity. Buy some gifts. Do something, just give some money. Or it might be by khidmah. Service. Maybe you don't got no money, you give them some service. Help the old person, give them some service. Serve them in some kind of way. Take them somewhere, drive them in your car, go out shopping for them, clean their house. Service. Like service includes a lot of stuff. Person got money, you can give money. You don't got no money, give some service. Or he said, ziyara, visiting. Just visit. Maybe you, I ain't got no service. I need some service myself. I don't got no money. Let me just visit then. Visit. Telephone call, something. Wa nahwa, and things like that. These are some of the things that you can actually do. You can be kind to your relatives by Buy some money if you got money. Buy service if you can offer some service. Maybe you're an electrician, you're a carpenter, you're an auto mechanic. When your relatives need a car fixed, you might just, I'll give you some service today. You know? Or just visiting. Write a letter to them. Send them a postcard. Make a telephone call. Something. But keep the ties. Keep in connection. May Allah help us to do so. And then finally, the Shaykh says, not finally, but I mean, he also says, the scholars differ concerning the rahm. And who are, like we mentioned before, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, the relatives you're required to keep good ties with is from your fourth grandfather down, right? Shaykh Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, says that the scholars differ concerning who are the relatives that you must keep ties to from the womb. Number one, he said, it has been said, kullu dhi rahm mahram. Yani every person that's connected to you, that's from the mahram, meaning the people that you are not allowed to marry. That you're not allowed to marry. You have some relatives that you're not allowed to marry. You have other relatives you're allowed to marry, right? Like you can't marry your sister. You can't marry your aunt. You can't marry your... Huh? Your nam. But you can marry what? Your cousin. First cousin? Nam. Second cousin? Of course. Third cousin? Nam. Even your first cousin, you can marry. So there are relatives that you can marry and relatives you can't marry. So he's saying some people say it's those who you can't marry. Some people said, kullu warith. Every person who is an inheritor, who is entitled to inherit from you. That's the relatives that's meant. And some, another opinion he said, is that every relative, no matter if they're mahram for you or otherwise, every relative, even if they're not mahram, meaning your mahram, those who you can't marry, as well as those who you can marry. Whoever's a relative. And these are other opinions, okay? Just to hear some other things. Then the Shaykh mentions, time is it? Almost done. Shaykh mentions a hadith that's in Sahihain that's related to this topic. Hadith in Sahihain, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Aisha radiallahu anha, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, Ar-Rahim mu'allaqatun bil-arshi taqulu man wasalani wasalahu Allah. That the Rahim, the womb, is mu'allaqatun bil arsh, holding on to, connected to the arsh of Allah. And it is saying, man wasalani wasalahu Allah. Whoever keeps the ties with me, meaning with their relatives, Allah will connect him. Allah will connect him. Allah will do some good for him. Like increasing his sustenance, prolonging his life, and so on, whatever Allah has in store for him. Al-Qadi Ayyad, one of the scholars of the hadith of the past, who made an explanation of Sahih Muslim before Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he said, Al-Murad, what is intended by this hadith is ta'zim sha'niha, to show the greatness of the affair of keeping the ties of relations, that this is a tremendous matter. Wa fadilatu wasliha, and the excellence and the superiority of keeping ties of relations. Wa azim athar qa'atiha. قطعها. And the gravity of the effect of cutting ties of relation. The gravity of the effect of it. If you look at the opposite, whoever connects me, Allah will connect him. And we can understand from that what? Whoever doesn't connect me, they will be disconnected. Then the Shaykh says, keeping the ties of relations is a sababun qawiyun, is a very strong cause or reason that Allah has made for the expansion of a person's sustenance, the one who keeps the ties of relations, the increasing of it. And also, that a barakah will be in his life, meaning his life will have blessings in it, and his life will be extended. And this is because of what he will earn of good deeds, what he will pile up of provisions in this world to carry him over into the next world. Meaning that the reward for keeping ties and relations is not just the reward you get in this world, the money that you might get, some extra money or provisions. Rather, it will also give you something to carry you into the next world, which is even more important. Then Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, mentions the statement of one of the scholars of the past concerning the meaning of this hadith. He said that it appears to be in contradiction to the saying of Allah that we mentioned previously, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجْلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, that whenever his term of life, the ending of his life comes, it will not be delayed even 1 hour, nor will it be advanced. He said, what is the reconciliation, al-jam? How do we reconcile between these two statements? Now the Shaykh here, he mentions a couple of different ways that it could be understood. We heard one of them already from Brother Ismail. Huh? We heard one of them already. And we heard what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said about this. Now, Shaykh Ali Bassam, rahimahullah, he mentions some other views of the scholars concerning this. Okay, so we're going to look at a couple of things here. Three different views of how we can understand the expansion of a person's provisions and the prolonging of their life. And these are not contradictory, one contradicting the other. Rather, one might be more clear than another. But these are also possibilities. Okay, the first thing that the Shaykh says is that we understand this increase in the person's lifespan, we understand it to be a kinaya, an indirect expression that represents al-barakah, that he will have blessings in his life. What does barakah mean? Kathratul khair, a lot of good. So this is a kinaya, some of the scholars said, an indirect expression that's used to represent what? That his life will be blessed by the tawfiq or the success from Allah. Allah will give him the ability to obey Allah and to fill his time, the time of his life, with that which will benefit him and that which will get him near to his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the barakah means what? That Allah will give him, due to his keeping ties and relations, Allah will give him the success in being obedient to Allah. Some of us have not been successful. We want to obey Allah, but we find ourselves just doing all wrong. Commits all kinds of sins. Getting intoxicated, fornication, stealing, lying. Allah has not given some of us the tawfiq. That's from Allah, the ability to do good, to obey Him. This is one way to get that tawfiq. By the blessing that Allah put in your life, He enables you to obey Him. And to fill your life and your time with that which is beneficial, instead of wasting it with that which is of no benefit. A lot of us, we spend hours and hours and hours reading the New York Times. Oh, why? That's a waste of time. I know everybody might not agree with that, but it is a waste of time. If you're reading hours and hours in the New York Times, tell me how many hours you read in the Quran. By Allah, how many hours are you reading the Quran? You can't tell me that that's not a waste of time. If you're reading 3 hours in the New York Times, you better be reading 4 or 5 hours of the Quran every day. Otherwise, it's really a waste of time. Because that time you're supposed to be reading the Quran, reading the Hadith, studying your deen, remembering Allah, making extra prayers, doing something that's beneficial. That New York Times is not going to help you in the next life when your scale is put forward and your deeds are weighed. I'm not saying don't read the newspaper. I'm saying 3 or 4 hours, that's ridiculous. That's extremism. That's fanaticism. Those people are fanatics, reading the New York Times 3 or 4 hours a day, every day. Like that's a religion. A'udhu billah. Allah protect us from ignorance. And what strengthens this view, that it's a kinaya, an indirect expression representing the blessings of Allah in one's life, the tawfiq of obedience to Allah and doing things that are beneficial, bringing him nearer to his Lord, is the hadith that came from the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that the lifespan of the people of his ummah has been shortened in relation to the lifespan of the previous nations. People used to live a long time before. He said the lifespan of his ummah, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, life of his ummah is between umru ummati bayna 60 wa 70 sana. The lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. People used to live 150, 200, 300, 400, 500 years, 1,000 years. How long did Nuh alayhi salam give da'wah? Not how long did he live, how long did he give da'wah? Everybody knows that, right? 1,000 minus what? 50. He gave da'wah. But how long did he live? He lived longer than that. He was just giving da'wah for 950 years. People used to live a long time. Today, person gets 70, mashallah, they're good. He was dying young now. But the Prophet ﷺ said the ummah of his lifespan has been shortened in comparison to previous nations. So therefore, they have been given what? To increase the blessings in their life, even though their life, the years are short. But guess what? When increase their life, what? You know what they have been given? What? Barakah, what? Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr.
One night, if you do good in it, it's equal to what? 1,000 months. Like 80 some years. So even though we only got a little lifespan, but mashallah, we got a night every year. And if you take advantage of it, and how many people take advantage of it? Then it expands the barakah and the reward, inshallah, by one night, Laylatul Qadr. Second view that the Shaykh says that this increase in the lifespan could be understood ala haqiqatiha, that it is in reality. Yeah, the lifespan will really be extended, prolonged. And that is in reference to al-ajal al-mu'allaq, yani meaning the term of life that's mu'allaq, and according to Allah's decree al-qadr al-mu'allaq, and Allah's decree al-qadr al-mahtum, that there's a lifespan that is suspended. That which is written and what is given to the angel will be given that this person will do such and such, or lifespan with such and such, and so on and so forth. For example, it will be written that if a person obeys, such and such a person does this act of obedience, then his lifespan will be such and such. And if he doesn't do it, then his lifespan will be such and such. That's what the angel gets. Okay, that's the suspended lifespan in the suspended decree. That's not firmly fixed. But it's suspended. It's hanging. It could fall either way, right? But Allah already knows where it's going to fall, but the angel don't know. So it's the Shaykh, the scholars, some of the scholars said that this reality of extending their life is in reference to this idea of al-ajal al-mu'allaq wal-ajal al-mahtum. That there's a term in the decree that's suspended, and there's a term that's fixed, that can't be changed. It's unalterable. Can't be changed. So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the reality of what will happen between these two. Al-ajal al-mahtum, the unalterable term, that's in the ayah, in the Quran, in Surah Ra'ad 13:39. This, what is mentioned here, al-ajal al-mahtum, the unalterable term, is as is mentioned, is that which is in the knowledge of Allah, which does not change. That's a term that's with Allah, not with the angels. Nobody knows but Allah. That's unchangeable, unalterable. And this is what is referred to in the saying of Allah, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. This is what Allah mentions in Surah Ra'd 13:39. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ. That Allah erases whatever He wills, and He firmly fixed, and he leaves it in place, whatever He wills. That's one part. وَإِنْدُهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. And with Him is the mother of the book. The Lawh Mahfuz, which what is written there is unalterable. So what Allah erases and leaves intact, that's what's with the angel. That's what some of the scholars said is the term that's suspended. Allah may erase it and change it, or He may leave it as it is. That's according to the knowledge that's with the angels. But according to the knowledge with Allah, it's in the mother of the book, Lawh al-Mahfuz. That's unalterable. Allah already knows what it's going to be. So the hadith in it is an indication, in the beginning, is in an indication of what is in the beginning of the ayah. Al-ajal al-mu'allaq, the suspended term. In the beginning of the ayah means something could be erased, or Allah can make it fixed to remain. And in the last part of the ayat, وَإِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and with Him is the mother of the book, is an indication to al-ilm al-ilahi, the divine knowledge, which there's no change in it whatsoever. And this is what is referred to as al-qadha al-mahtum. Al-mahtum. Al-qadha al-mahtum. That is, the knowledge is with Allah, that cannot be changed. It's unalterable. That's al-qadha al-mahtum. That's the knowledge is with Allah. He knows what it's going to be. But the first part of the ayah refers to al-qadha al-mu'allaq, the decree that is suspended, that Allah may erase or He may leave it as it is. It's changeable. It's alterable. Huh? That's what's with the angels. So there's two types of decree the Shaykh is saying here. The decree that's in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, that's the divine knowledge, is with Allah alone, unalterable. That term is fixed. It's not going to change. Allah already knows that the person is going to keep ties and relations, so He extends their lifespan, and He already knows that it's going to be like that. But as far as what's given with the angels, that's al-qadha al-mu'allaq, the suspended decree. That Allah might erase or He might leave it in. The angels don't know what Allah is going to do with it, because the angels don't know what the person is going to do, and therefore how it's going to turn out. But Allah already knows. So this, suspended decree, meaning that which is with the angels, and the knowledge that's with the angels, that it may change, it may be erased, it may remain confirmed. But al-qadha, al-mahtum, al-mubram, this is that is the divine knowledge is with Allah and it's unalterable, it's inevitable, can't be changed, it must happen. And the Shaykh says, after mentioning these two views, he said that I see something that's better than these two views, and that is that Allah has decreed al-asbab wal-musabbabat. Allah has decreed al-asbab wal-musabbabat. Al-asbab, the causes or reasons for things. Allah has decreed that there are certain causes, and also al-musabbabat, there are certain things that will be caused to happen, that will be the effect from those causes. Allah has decreed this. This is a third explanation, that there are causes and there are effects from those causes. Person believes in Allah, enters Islam, worships Allah, they have done something that will bring a certain effect. It will earn the pleasure of Allah and His reward in Jannah, inshallah. Okay, so there are causes and there are effects. He said this is the third view, that verily Allah has decreed, when Allah has decreed the lengthening of a person's life, then He has also made available to them the asbab, the causes, al-hissiyya wal-ma'nawiyya. He has also made available to that person some causes which are hissiyya, tangible, that can be discerned by the physical senses, physical causes. Alaykum salam. And He has also made other asbab which are ma'nawiyya, spiritual, immaterial, non-material causes that you don't see with the physical senses. So when Allah intends to extend a person's lifespan, He has made available to them the causes, those which are material, physical, tangible, and those which are spiritual, immaterial, non-physical. He has made those available to the person, those things which will be the cause of extending his lifespan and delaying his death. If a person takes hold of those causes, whether they are the physical causes, like eating well, taking care of your health, or whether they are spiritual causes, which may be greater in their effect. Like the hadith in Bukhari or Muslim from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that they were traveling through the land and they came across a Bedouin tribe, and the chief of the tribe was stung by a scorpion and he was dying. And they asked, anybody know how to do ruqyah? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said that one of them said, yeah, we can do something. The rest of the people with him, they didn't know what he was getting ready to do. What did he do? He recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And the chief got up like he was never sick. He said, whoa, what is this? These are the causes that Allah has made that are real. They are not all physical, just taking pills. There are some things, well, ruqyah, reciting ayahs from the Quran, hadith, adhkar, certain things that the Prophet ﷺ told us, to say, that's real, brother. It's equally real as the physical causes. And it's greater in its effect, in reality. If a person has iman, the Shaykh, mashallah, made a long discussion here. We're going to skip a little bit of it because it's a long discussion. May Allah help us. I knew that it would come to this, but may Allah help us. Anyway, the last point that the Shaykh makes after, actually he says here, after he mentioned this, he goes into detail why he made this view based on the view of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, his Shaykh. And he mentions Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di's statement concerning this hadith, but it's very long. It's very long, okay? So anyway, after he mentioned the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di's view concerning this, he came to the end of what he said, and he said, finally, in this hadith is an evidence that the intention of a person who is al-amil, the one who is doing some work in this world, doing some good deeds, the intention of a person who does some deed, and that deed requires or necessitates or bring about a worldly reward, the intention of the person who does a deed, and based on that deed, there's some worldly reward that he gets, that he can get for it. That intention does not harm him, the fact that he's going to get some worldly reward, as long as him doing the deed, first and foremost, is for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and the next life. Meaning the reason why he's doing it is for the pleasure of Allah and for the hereafter. So if doing that deed also comes with it some worldly reward, no harm in that. No harm in that. As long as what? His first primary intention is to seek the pleasure of Allah in the hereafter. Because Allah in His wisdom, He is the one who has arranged that there is some thawab al-ajil wal-ajil. There is some reward that's hastened now in this world and some reward that's delayed for the next life. Allah has made it like that for some deeds that you get a reward now and a reward later. So there's nothing wrong with getting a reward, a worldly reward, as long as the intention is not singly to get the worldly reward. But rather his intention first and foremost is to get the reward of Allah, the pleasure of Allah in the hereafter. And then he said, wow, and I'm going to get some worldly reward too. I'll take that with it. If Allah is offering that, I get that too. I want that too. But my main intention is what? The pleasure of Allah. So the believer who is sadiq, who is sincere and truthful, the truthful believer, his action, doing something and leaving something, whether it's something that you do or something that you don't do, meaning that you do your salat, or you don't do intoxicants. What you do and what you leave, the sincere believer is doing and leaving something should be mukhlisan lillahi, should be sincerely for the sake of Allah. But musta'inan, seeking help, huh? Seeking help in doing that sincerely for Allah, he may seek help in whatever, all the different types of encouragements that are in the doing of good deeds. What does that mean? Meaning that sometimes a good deed contains within it, when you study hadith, right? Like if you look at the supplications of the Fortress of the Muslim, a lot of times you read a supplication, it says, say this at this time, or say this at that time. But if you go back and look at the hadith that the supplication came in that hadith, it may say, if you say this, you will get this. Or if you say this, this will happen. But if you don't get the hadith, you're just saying it because you know that alhamdulillah is from the sunnah. But we like to know if there's some reward with it too, right? Especially if there's some reward you're going to get right now. Because we're looking for right now. We like to go to Burger King and McDonald's and get it now. We don't want to wait for a nice meal that got wife is at home cooking for 2 hours or 3 hours. You'd rather just go get a 60-second burger from Burger King. A'udhu billahi min dhalik. Right? We should not be eating no Burger King. That meat is not halal. It's not really. It's not halal. I know that some people think that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, you know, said that you can just eat any meat as long as it's from the people of the book. But they need to read the fatwa that he gave in detail that explains what that really means. Yeah. So, what? The person should do it sincerely for the sake of Allah, and they may seek help or encouragement from the things that Allah has promised for even reward in this world for doing those deeds, even though his intention is primarily for the hereafter. Sheikh of Salih al-Fawzan, and this is the end of the explanations, the last one, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says, concerning this hadith, Naam. I'll skip a little bit, and he says, whoever loves, meaning whoever desires that his sustenance be expanded and his term of life be extended, delayed, yani that his death be delayed, then he must keep ties of the womb. This hadith indicates that the expansion of a person's sustenance, meaning that it will be increased and it will be vast, that the increasing of a person's sustenance has a sabab. There's a cause for it. Something that will make it happen. And that is what? Keeping good ties with your relatives. Whoever keeps the ties of the womb, then Allah will expand his sustenance. And Allah will put blessings in his sustenance. And what is meant here by the raham, the womb, it is al-qaraba. What is meant by the womb is al-qaraba. So here's another definition of what do we mean by our relatives. Who do we mean by the raham? Who is included in it? Shaykh Uthaymeen said what? Your fourth grandfather and down. And Shaykh Ali Bassam said what? Either, some people said, your inheritors. Some people said the mahram, those who are prohibited marriage. And some people said any of your relatives, even if they are not from mahram. And here Shaykh Saleh Fawzan is saying the qaraba is every person who is tied to you by relationship. Whether it's from the direction of your mother or from the direction of your father. Every person who is tied to you by some relationship, qaraba. Whether it's from the direction of your mother, the side of your mother, or from the side of your father. Whether it is your mother's uncles or your mother's aunts. Or whether it is your mother's grandfathers, meaning her grandfather and grandfather's father and so on. Or your mother, or your mother's grandmothers. Whether it is your father's uncles or your father's aunts, whether it is your father's grandfathers or your father's grandmothers, or whether it is their children, the children of your uncles and aunts, maternal uncles and maternal aunts. He said, كلهم يشملهم اسم القرابة واسم الرحم. That all of these are included in the name قرابة. قرابة means nearness of relationship, and رحم means the womb, and both of these mean the same thing. And he said here it means all of those people who are connected to you what? From the side of your mother or the side of your father? Mother's brothers and sisters, father's brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, and the children of all of them. This is another definition that the scholars have given. The Shaykh says all of this is included in Qaraba and all this is included in Rahim, and they have a right over you. So whoever fulfills that right, then this will be a cause for him to get al-khayr, good, in the dunya and in the akhirah. Both in this world and the hereafter. In the dunya, what will he get in the dunya? He'll get increase in sustenance and delaying of his death. And in the era and hereafter, what will he get? He will get al-thawab, a lot of reward, and what? Al-jannah, the paradise that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa'ad al-ladhina yasiluna, مَعَمْرَ اللَّهِ بِهِ يُوْسَلَ وَوَعَدَهُمْ بِالْجَنَّةِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And indeed Allah has promised. Promise of Allah is true. He's promised those who connect, who join that which He has commanded to be joined. He has promised them Jannah in the next life. The Shaykh says, Naam, as for cutting the ties of relations, this is a kabira, min kabair al-dhunub, tujib al-la'na. This is what? A kabira, a major sin, from the major sins, that necessitates a person getting the la'na of Allah, the curse of Allah. What is the curse of Allah? Al-bu'ad an rahmatillah. That a person be far removed from the mercy of Allah. Far removed from Allah's mercy. What could be worse than that? A person far removed from the mercy of Allah. What could be worse than that? As Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Muhammad 47:22 and 23, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Is it so that perhaps if you are given authority in the land, you will make corruption in the earth? And you will cut the ties of the womb? Is that what you will do? These are those whom Allah has cursed. And He has made them deaf. And He has blinded their sight. So Allah tawa'ada, He has threatened those who cut off that which He has commanded to be connected. And those who make corruption in the earth. That they will have the la'na. And they will have an evil destination. So cutting the ties of the womb is a major sin from the major sins. And how do we know this? Because Allah has cursed those who do so. So the curse will not be except in the case of something that is a major sin. This is one of the signs of a major sin, that the curse of Allah is upon the one who does it. In this hadith, the tying of relations, or keeping the ties of relations of the womb, is the cause of a person having extended or expanded of their provisions. And Allah will bless them in their provisions. Allah will make it vast and expansive. And Allah will delay their term of death. And in this, there could be some misunderstanding with the ayat that we mentioned previously from Surah Al-A'raf. Allah said, the meaning of which is, when a person's term come, it cannot be delayed for 1 hour or advanced. And also the saying of Allah, which we didn't mention before in Surah Al-Munafiqun, that's Surah 63, ayat 11, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا, that Allah will never delay a person's term when it comes. And when the term of the death comes, Allah will never delay it. So there could be some misunderstanding concerning this. And the Shaykh says that combining between this ayat and this hadith, the scholars have given a number of answers. Two of them we have pretty much already mentioned. One of them is that the person's lifespan will not be, yani their actual years on this world will not be increased or decreased. But if they keep the ties of relations, and Allah will put blessings in their lifespan by obedience, by being obedient, and khayr will come to their life. And this is the meaning, that their lifespan will be expanded, that their life will be blessed. So they will use the time that they have in this world in good things. So the lifespan of a person, even if it's short, if it's used in good, then it will be long. And the lifespan of a person that's long, if he uses it in evil, then in reality it will be short, because it will be a lifespan that has no khayr in it. So the person who keeps the ties of relations, then this person has benefited from his lifespan. They got the blessings in it, and they have used it properly in obedience to Allah and in doing of good. And this will be the cause of them getting a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, then it will be as Allah has decreed it to be in Allahu Mahfud, without any increase. It will be just as Allah has decreed it to be in Allahu Mahfud, without any increase. The second opinion the Shaykh says here is that this hadith should be understood ala zahirihi, yani as it appears to be, just as it appears to be. Meaning that lifespan will really be expanded, it will be extended, it will be prolonged. And he said that if a person cuts the ties of the womb, then their lifespan will be actually decreased. So the hadith is ala zahirihi, it is just as it appears to be. This is a second view, this is a different view than what he mentioned first. And this is min tartib al-musabbabat ala asbabiha. And this is what we mentioned before. This is because what? Al-musabbabat, the things that are caused by something, are based upon causes. They are causes and effects. Okay, so he's saying this is the second view. Person's life, if it is long or if it is short, it is based upon this rule of cause and effect. Meaning that there are causes and there are effects. So it will be lengthened by a certain cause, and it will be shortened by other cause. Person does good, he will get more. He does evil, he will get less time. So if a person is kind to his parents and keeps with his relatives and keeps the ties of relations, his life will be extended. And if he cuts off the ties, it will be shortened. And all of this is by the decree of Allah. Allah has decreed that he will keep the ties and therefore make his life long. And Allah has decreed for another one that he will cut the ties and therefore make his life short. So this hadith is as it appears to be. And Allah Jalla wa Ala Ja'ala al-Ashya mabniyatan ala asbabiha. So Allah is the one who has made everything based upon its causes. And what will happen is based upon its cause. Now the Shaykh mentions two more, and this is the end of what we want to say. These two we didn't mention before. These are two other views that are not contrary to what we heard already before, and this is what we're going to close with. The Shaykh says, Al-Qawl al-Thalith. Another opinion concerning this hadith is that the meaning that a person's death term of life, the term of life, will be delayed, meaning the life will be extended. It means al-dhikra al-jamil ba'da wafatihi. Al-dhikra al-jamil ba'da wafatihi. A beautiful mention after his death. Meaning he will be mentioned in a good way. People will be talking about somebody. You know somebody that passed away and people always saying good things about them? That's al-dhikra al-jamil. Person died, but it's as though they're living. People are always saying good things about them. فيكون كأنه معمر وكأنه يعيش بين الناس وهو ميت. يعني it would be as though he's living amongst the people even though he's dead. وَذَلَكَ بِثَنَى عَلَيْهِ. This is because the praise that the people are showering upon him. And by mentioning him all the time in a good way. So it is as though he's living. It's as though he's living. This is the third view. And there's no contradiction because no doubt. If Allah decreed that a person keep the ties of relation and therefore he extended their life, physically extended their years, then what it would have been had he not decreed that this person is going to do that, knowing that he's going to do it or not do it, his life may be extended. Naam, really, in reality, but that's already known in the decree of Allah. In addition to that, his life may be extended further, even after he's dead, because people will be speaking good about him. So the poet said, do good. I mean, act in a way that will make people mention you were good, so that will make your life longer. That's the meaning of line of poetry that the Sheikh gave. I don't want to try to translate this poetry. That's dangerous. But that's the meaning of it. The last view that the Sheikh gave, and this is what we're closing with, he said, well, Qawl, and also it has been said, another statement, he said, إِنَّهُ يُرْزَقْ بِذَرِّيَّ صَالِحَةً تَدْعُوا لَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ. That he will be blessed. He will be given, provided with, righteous offspring that will make dua for him after his death. Huh? SubhanAllah. There's no contradiction here. It's extra. More longer life. By what? Righteous offspring that will make dua for him after his death or after her death. فَكَأَنَّهُ مَعَمَّرُ كَأَنَّهُ يَعِيشُ. It is as though he's still living. Because his offspring are making dua for him. So it is as though his life is ongoing, still going. Huh? Because it's extended by what? The dua of his righteous offspring. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, as reported in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abu Hurairah, إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنِ عَدَمْ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. That if a person, the son of Adam, any human being dies, his deeds will be cut off except from three. Except from what? Three. The sadaqah that's ongoing, sadaqah jariyah, he leaves back some kind of sadaqah that continues to benefit the people. وَعِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعَ بِهِ. Or knowledge that people have benefited from. After he's gone, people have still benefited from. He wrote a book. Or he did something. He left some knowledge. He discovered something. He researched something. And people after he died are still benefiting from it. أَوَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. Or a righteous child that is making dua for him. Whether it's a son or a daughter. If a person has a child and he raised that child to be a righteous child, then when he dies, that child will be making dua for him. Huh? SubhanAllah. Take care of your children. Do the best you can. Your children, don't forget your parents. So the delaying of his death term, yani the extending of his life, will be due to the existence after his death of his righteous children. So if he keeps the ties and relations, Allah will provide him with righteous children that will make dua for him after his death. And it will be as though he is living and not dead. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any question about what we talked about tonight? Any question about what we talked about tonight? Something that's not clear, Abdurrahim. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. That's not a question about what we're talking about tonight, is it? Inshallah, we're going to try to help you. Inshallah, we're going to try to help you. Inshallah, we'll try to help you. Some brother who knows, who wants to help Abdurrahim, inshallah, try to, you know, help him to get a copy of the recording. Okay? Inshallah, by the way, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we have a CD that we're going to make available as a fundraiser for the masjid. We want everybody in the class to make a donation to the masjid for one of those CDs. It's one CD, and all you're going to pay for is $5. It has the whole class that we took 13 lectures for $5. If you want to give more to the masjid, alhamdulillah, give 10 or 20 or buy 10 of them and give them to somebody as a gift for the masjid. Masjid is in need. You know, we don't have Jumu'ah. I have no collection for Jumu'ah. Okay, we have a lot of needs. Inshallah, we're going to start an Arabic class. A lot of sisters want to participate. They can't see what we're writing on the board. So we'll put up a system so the camera can see the board. The board. Only the board. So they can see the board and see what's written on the board so they can participate in the class. All that costs money. Camera's up there right now. Put that camera up there, it costs us $200. And to put the screen in the back for them is going to cost about another $300. Need money. The master need money. We need money for toilet paper. We need money for electric bill. We need money for all kind of stuff. Huh? Please. When we get those CDs, inshallah, they're just about ready now. Maybe in the next class we're going to have it. Come to the master, ready to make a donation to the master. Get two of them or three of them or 10 of them. As many as you can, inshallah. Give as much as you can. Don't be stingy. Say it's only $5. Give them $5. It's only $5 because we'll make everybody able. But if you could give more, it's for the master. You're not buying this. We're not selling this. We're not selling this. This is free, really. This is for the master, inshallah. Okay, any other question before we close? Okay, Naam. Musa. If somebody writes a book and they give it out, they're going to have a reward, inshallah. If they did it for the sake of Allah, they're going to get a reward for sure. Naam. Yeah, if a person write a book on physics or geometry or algebra or engineering, inshallah, they get a reward for that. If they give it out free, if that's knowledge that benefits people, yeah, that's knowledge that benefits people. That's not equal to the knowledge of the deen of Allah, but that's also beneficial. People need to know how to do mathematics, how to be a doctor, whatever. But that's beneficial for the society. So if they give that knowledge out in a book form or teach or whatever, inshallah, Allah reward them for that. But the person who teaches people how to be saved from the hellfire, that's the great reward. Because a person might teach a person how to be a doctor, and they might heal some people. And they'll still go to the hellfire. I mean, that benefit is very limited. If you're still going to be in the hellfire, who cares about getting healed? Better to be sick and be in paradise. Just be sick and die and go die from your sickness and go to paradise. And get healed and live for another 10, 20 years, then go in the hellfire. The benefit from that is limited, but it's still beneficial for the society, inshallah. If they do it for the sake of Allah, then there's a reward. Everything has to be done for the sake of Allah. Okay? May Allah, you know, grant us success and understanding what the Prophet ﷺ has given us in this hadith, and let him help us all, starting with myself, inshallah, to act upon this. Naam, Ibrahim. I'll come back to it, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نعم أبو بكر أها نعم نعم Now, you can get a reward. If a person is just reading some book to help himself and help others for some beneficial knowledge, yeah, you can get a reward for that. It's still a good deed. Every good deed, you know, gets some reward. But the reward is according to the deed. If a person does it for the sake of Allah, he will get a reward with Allah. If he does it just because he likes to do math, then that's something different. But if he does it because he wants to help people for the sake of Allah, of course, critical foundation of every deed has to be for the sake of Allah. In accordance with the sunnah, if it's an act of worship. Naam. Okay, this is the last question, inshallah. When you say for the sake of Allah, what do you mean? Do you mean that you're doing it, not asking for any reward, but you only want reward? That's what it means, for the sake of Allah. When you're doing something for the sake of Allah, it means that you're doing it because you want reward from Allah. If any other reward comes, that's secondary. But the reason why you're really doing it has to be for Allah. Okay? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.